evening. Welcome to Hacker Public Radio. My name's Becky.
My name's Mike.
I'm Ken.
And I'm Philip. That went well.
And first of all, I'd like to start off by welcoming in our new hosts for this month, CC Music, Doobie, and Cleavy. So, how is everybody doing?
Fine, thank you.
Okay, first of all, let's do the show review. Has everybody listened to all the shows?
Most of them, I think.
Yeah, not all, most of them.
Yeah, pretty much. Well, I've listened to most of the Odd Camp shows you've done this month.
Okay, cool. Well, 1046 was the HPR community news for July 2012. And then we had the following day was the second in the soldering series by Mr. X, which was an audio demonstration of soldering. Now, personally, I didn't think that this was going to be possible, but in actual fact, worked out quite well. And I don't know if that's because I have done soldering before, or if it's simply because he's very good at explaining it. Have any of you listened to that show?
I listened to it, and it's actually inspired me to go to Maplin's and buy a soldering iron.
Yeah, the only thing that concerned me was that he... Well, not concerned me. I mean, you need good tools, so it's a lot of an investment to buy a good soldering iron that you could do the core temperature on.
I suppose. I mean, I wasn't inspired that much. I was inspired to get myself an entry-level soldering iron and start looking at it. I've got to the stage now where I'm particularly Odd Camp with all the hardware stuff. I started thinking, perhaps I should look at some hardware stuff because I've not really looked at hardware ever.
Yeah. I was actually reading the, we'll probably get to it as well, but remind me about it if Raspberry Pi magazine. I don't know if any of you read that at all. That they're running a series in there on hardware hacking and they use a breadboard, so it kind of eliminates the soldering issue for you. But anyway, let's get back to the point. Episode 1048 was a welcome return to Mr. Gadgets onto the network here with another of his drive-by shows, and thankfully he's got quite a few more in the queue. This was entitled Get Off This Rock, the premise of which was if we don't, we're not very redundant. If the only place we exist as humans and other plants and animals is if we live on this planet. So the following day was a 10:49 syndicated Thursday, Odd Camp 11, Laura Tchaikovsky, Life Outside of IRC and Floss, and this was put together by Robert Gatling, who unfortunately wasn't at Odd Camp this year. And then we had 10:50 was Talk Geek to Me News from Deep Geek, a welcome back after a long sabbatical, and he's picked up his regular schedule. Then the first from our new host was An Intro to the Music, and this was a nice show put together by CC Music with some songs intermingled with updates from the Floss news from the Floss community. I particularly liked the first two songs. Didn't particularly like the second two songs, but you know, there you go. That's what you have with CC Music. Any of you into Creative Commons music at all?
Yes, we are, aren't we, Philip?
Yeah, we love a bit of free music. Listen to Dan from Linux Outlaws does his Rat Hole Radio, so that's pretty good.
You've also got John Spriggs, John the Nice Guy Spriggs, that does CC Hits.
Both of those shows have been syndicated here on Syndicated Thursday on Hacker Public Radio. Da-da-da-da-da-da.
Isn't there also a new one called The Bugcast?
That's correct, yep. Well, I don't know how new they are, but I think we've syndicated them recently. So, moving on, we had Linux in the Shell.
Oh, hang on a second. There's, free music. Professor Click, have you ever listened to his stuff? That's absolutely amazing. I paid money for that because, it's of a quality which is, you know, it's better than most of the crap that's available in the charts at the moment. So, that's good stuff. So, Professor Click, look him up on Google.
Will do. Is that a podcast or just an artist?
Yeah, no, that's the name of the artist. So, but he does releases most of his stuff. I'm pretty sure it's Creative Commons, so it's definitely free. But you know,
it is Creative Commons. Dan plays it quite a lot on Rat Hole Radio.
Yeah, I thought I heard of him. The website is Professor K L I Q. That's Kilo Lima Indigo Quebec .com. Then we had the following day was Dan's continuing 13th show on HPR, Linux in the Shell, the top of top. And this was an in-depth look into one of the most used commands on Linux, explaining what all the features of top are.
Yeah, I quite like that one because it's a command I've not really used before, but I actually started to use it because my PC is getting really slow, and I've just found that by using it, it's Nautilus, which is taking all my CPU and stuff, so it's really good to know.
I thought Dan did a brilliant job there. He covered areas there that I've been using top for a long time, trying to control multi-user Unix systems and so forth, and never really understood all that it showed. Just looked for the guy who was hogging the CPU. I thought Dan's doing a great job explaining every tiny detail.
He is absolutely excellent at going through each of the commands, and not in this one, in the next episode 14, which is 1062, which we haven't got to yet. It was the first time I seen him come across one of the options where he didn't fully understand what was going on about it. And I thought, yes, at least he is human. Okay, but getting back to the plan, which is 1053, which is Zoke with a question. Also, welcome back to Zoke. And Zoke's question was essentially, do we need a charity for podcasters? So what do you think, Paul?
I think yes.
Charity as in different than sort of using Flatter or any kind of donations mechanism on their site?
I think the point was, yeah, a charity that would have something like 502c or 802c, whatever the US tax deductible for charities thing is, then you could donate and it would be spread amongst the podcasters. But as you say, Becky, I was thinking while listening to it, yeah, would Flatter not allow you to do it like that?
The other aspect, I mean, I left a comment on this episode. One thing that sprung to mind was, isn't this the kind of thing that Linux Fund is for?
Tell us more.
There is a charity already to fund open source projects, Linux Fund. And it currently funds things, I believe it's Blender and Audacity, or I think it's definitely Blender, but there's a bunch of projects that they fund. Would podcasts not qualify as projects in this sort of arena?
They might very well do, but it's spurred some debate whether podcasts should be funded. I don't actually know. I always look lowly on the contributions that I've made, and I would hate to think of somebody, you know, diverting money away from me, away to me, for instance, instead of giving it to what I would consider myself worthwhile foundations like the Accessible Computing Foundation, for instance.
I think the only trouble would be, if we think about how our charity organisations are set up, or certainly in the UK, the actual bidding of the money in that fund, you know, you're in danger of making something so complicated that actually it's hard to manage.
Yeah, exactly. But nonetheless, a very interesting question. And the following day, we had another one of the OddCamp 11 shows, which was Becky Hogg, Barefoot in Cyberspace. The day after that was Talk Geek to Me News. And then the following week was a complete OddCamp week. Day one, then we had Simon Phipps, a new show by Doobie, who was actually down in the, the booth beside us in the, at the exhibition area, and I convinced him to record a show and submit it, so that was a direct new contributor. Then we had Hardware Hacking, and then we had the evening show, the morning show of the Sunday, and on the Friday, then we had the farewell. So that was the week of OddCamp.
Can I just say that it worked really well this year, the way you did it, almost like sound bites. So rather than long, protracted interviews, linking together lots of sound bites, and it gave a good feel.
Why, thank you very much, Becky. I actually promised far too much last year to people, which is the reason why, some of the things, just to explain to people, if this is the first time they listen to Hacker Public Radio, or if they joined us in the last year we didn't have that idea where you could reserve a block as such. we had it when I proposed it to the email list. And if you want to be part of, as I jokingly said to Becky earlier on, the HPR Parliament, you can join the mailing list and you get an equal say with everybody else on how HPR is run. And we agreed there that if somebody's going to take the time to go to a show to record interviews, then that they would be allowed to have a week of shows after they come back. But more to your point, this time I didn't make any promises that I was going to edit in shows or do accessibility versions of shows or tags or stuff like that.
It also must have made it easier for you, though, to actually keep the interview sort of more short and punchy, because you knew, you know, how you were going to release them. You already had that plan.
No, I didn't. I just winged it.
Was that off the cuff? Well done.
Well, you think I plan stuff? Keesh.
I know you don't plan, Ken.
Thank you very much. My faith in humanity is restored.
I'm sorry.
The reason I know is because I just came over to your booth just to, you know, say hello and have a chat. And within like 2 seconds, I had a microphone in my face. Now, you couldn't possibly plan that.
Same here. Yeah. I saw him in action. He was a doing machine.
Yeah. He was like a podcasting robot.
Exterminate.
I thought 1 year, though, I will try and give you a proper interview, Ken, as opposed to me just looking startled every time you put that microphone in my face.
Well, unfortunately, my mic is a bit intimidating because it's a very directional, and if it isn't right under your nose, then what happens is it fades away very quickly. I'm using a Zoom H2, and so much so that one of the guys I was interviewing, I won't say which, kept walking away, and we were about 10 meters, at the end of the interview, we were about 10 meters away from where we started, to such a point where I had to hold his hand and pull him closer to the mic.
Is that why he kept backing us into corners? You know, you give us nowhere to escape to.
I have my evil plan.
I think I should take responsibility as well. So the next time it happens, Ken, I'm just going to punch you straight on the nose and say, come back in half an hour once I've composed my thoughts.
Sure thing. Dave, did you want to say something? Or?
No, sorry, I was just adjusting my mumble settings here.
Not a bother. Okay, then moving on, we had Talk Geek to Me News, which was moved, thanks to Deep Geek again for allowing us to bump that out to the Monday. And then we had Linux in the Shell, which was the bottom of top. And as I was saying, Dan, this was the first time when he got into the kernel flags or something that he actually went into the source code of the, you know, the actual .c.h files to get to find out what they were. And it was the one time I felt that he was kind of treading on uncertain territory. But my God, the amount of knowledge that guy has is amazing. And then 1063 was Freedom and Licensing, Ahuka, who was responding to using HPR as a platform to respond to the Linux Action Show, who had done an interview with Richard Stallman and subsequently released source code under the GPL, and I believe subsequently has returned it back to being proprietary licensed, which was an interesting discussion in itself. And then we had 1064, which was the OggCamp 11 discussion panel. And we still have more interviews from last year still in the queue, because I promised people to release them along with their shows. And then I promised other people that I would release the shows, only release the presentations, if I had the slides translated. So that's quite a lot of work. So that's why it's taking that amount of time. And then finally, we had Cleavey with 1065, a wireless tip, which is officially the shortest Hacker Public Radio episode ever. Congratulations, Cleavey.
Yay, go Cleavey!
Woo-hoo.
Is that because he had a bottle of Doom Bar to get to?
No.
Can't just say thank you for the beers again to Cleavey.
The beers were awesome, guys. Thanks.
Beers? What beers do we speak of?
Cleavey and Marshall. I was just sat outside at Odd Camp, and Cleavey and Marshall presented me with a Tesco's bag full of beer. It was amazing.
So oh, I yeah. helped him drink it.
Oh, thank you very much, buddies.
Well, we took it all the way home with us. So
on then, the train.
We've got a few odd looks because I put it on the table and started photographing it. But the I did actually share it with Becky, so it was really nice as well. It's a proper nice real ale from down in Hobbit land where they live, down in Cornwall.
Oh, very nice, very nice. Because I'll tell you one thing, the beer was very suspect there.
At Liverpool, definitely.
Yeah, I mean, how you have to, I think, for a start, it was really cheap. For a second, it didn't taste like much. And for a third, you had 400 geeks all looking, all up until 3 or 4 o'clock in the morning drinking, yet were able to have coherent conversations.
Yeah, there's something wrong there. There was actually, Becky was, she was looking at the website for the hotel that we stayed in and that hosted all the parties and stuff. She was saying that when you book in, you can pay a fiver and you receive a bracelet. And from that point on, you get every drink you buy for a pound.
Whoa, that's interesting.
Yeah, it wasn't very well advertised to us.
You're all dumbstruck now, aren't you? You don't know what...
Yeah, I'm shocked and stunned. Although, again, having drank the beer...
Yeah, good point.
Okay, let's move on to some thanks. Again, I want to thank David Whitman for chipping in for the banner. The big banner that we had there that was sponsored by David Whitman. And
yeah, that was impressive.
It was even on.
I was like, it looked even professional as well. Looked like HPR was a proper professional exhibitor.
What do you mean? We are a professional exhibitor. I'm shocked and stunned. Thank you very much, Mike. I'm really, really hurt to the core. But no, it was fantastic. Featured heavily also on Dan's day one roundup thing where we had the meta interview him, interviewing me, and me interviewing him. Which may have sounded a bit odd to people if they hadn't known what was going on, I guess, on my end.
Yeah, no, I watched. I think Fab's put the video up on YouTube, hasn't he? So
yeah,
it might be better if you look at that.
But that was fantastic. And I would like to thank personally somebody who's on the call here, Mr. Dave, for helping me out with that podcast list. Thank you very much. I know I thanked you on the show.
You're most welcome. It was quite fun. Any more projects like that, just let me know.
I think I'd really like to get that tidied up so it could actually be run automatically. It's actually... a lot of people seem to like it. For some reason, just to be clear, the information, the vast majority of that list has come from thelinuxlink.net. Dan Washko again from Linux in the Shell and thelinuxlink.net fame has put together that. And I was sitting there one night thinking, okay, I want to give something out to people so that, here's a list of podcasts. Oh, thanks. Interesting. And if you're interested in doing a podcast, here's our business card and how you can start doing it. So it was a good way to kind of engage people as they walked past the booth. So LTDano1, you can feel free to join in. We're recording the Hacker Public Radio Community News. If you want to join in, feel free to. And where was I? Yes. So it worked out very well. To be able to hand out that list to people and get them started.
Are you planning to? I know you've got it on your blog, the end result. Are you planning to keep it up to date there, or put it on HPR, or what?
What I would actually like to do is have the back end thing and just give that to Dan. So that he could cron tab that script and then write. You were saying that you could do a HTML thing. So write that in the format that Dan could use. Now, he separates them out based on Linux shows and then other shows. So we would then need to look into the RSS feed if we could identify the Linux shows from the other shows, or whether that would be some metadata we'd need to add to the yet another markup language file.
Okay. We can talk about this on Mumble, perhaps.
Yes, indeed. It's a lot handier.
I was amazed at how many there were.
Yeah, well, we had them sorted by last published date. So, they're active. So the newer ones, the ones that had released, were further up. But it's still got, just to explain to people, what I produced was a A4 booklet thing. So an A4 is like a letter page for the US listeners. and it was printed on both sides with two sheets per page. So when you folded it in the center, landscape, printed landscape, you can fold it over to make it into a little booklet, four-page booklet. So I managed to kind of, through hacking font sizes and stuff, managed to get it onto a four-page booklet, and the writing was really, really small. But it was quite nice to be able to fit everybody in. And some other news is the Deep Geek again for bumping a show, and I also made a mess of Deep Geek's Talk Geek to Me news, which was the last show that I published before I went to Hog Camp. I put the wrong show notes out, and the queue is not up to date. The encoding is not finished because I was at Hog Camp, and for the coming months, I'm not going to be doing any development, any other stuff other than posting the shows and, you know, the regular maintenance of all HPR, because I need to do stuff for work and life. For those of you who are worried about Dave Yates and a lot of Linux Links show podcast, I was speaking to him on another matter, and he's doing fine, just doing a little bit of pod fitting. But his health is fine, and he himself is fine. So that's all good news there. And one other thing is the New Year show, which Becky and Phil were on last year. Well, I was thinking about it, and I was thinking perhaps we could do a 24-hour show this year.
24 hours?
Yes, indeed. And that's not as bad as you think, because last year, actually, when I went to bed, I came up the following morning, the guys are still going, but the 24-hour show, if we started it when it is New Year's in Tuvalu, it would still only be, 11 o'clock in the morning for me, 1 o'clock for me, 12 o'clock for you guys. And I was speaking to some of the other podcasters, and they also mentioned that it would be nice to get on board with that, and this is an open invitation. It's not a HBR thing per se, but it would be nice to have like a year roundup from the podcasting community. So I'll probably be contacting everybody on that list to see if they wanted to join, and just do a 24-hour mumble extravaganza type of thing
with alcohol involved on New Year's Eve. Oh my God!
There's always alcohol on New Year's Eve.
Less required.
It was a hoot last year, actually. I really enjoyed it, so that's something to look forward to, I think.
Yeah, I was listening to the New Year's podcast, and I noticed that there was a distinct lowering of the tone when you guys came on. There was all of a sudden a massive swear fest.
I get work Tourette's.
For people who didn't listen to the Hack of Public Radio New Year show from last year, it was a 12-hour extravaganza arranged by Pokey. And everybody was being nice and polite until, not until Becky came on, yes. Becky accidentally let out an adult word, and then it was a question of whether we were safe for work. And just to let everybody know, yet again, Hack of Public Radio has got an explicit tag on iTunes. So make from that what you will. But freedom of speech is encouraged.
Yeah, bitch.
Can I just say, in my defense, that we've been taking part in some podcasts that are very suitable for work. So therefore, we do tend to watch our P's and Q's. And it was just a case of, I just sort of asked, you know, New Year's Eve, alcohol was involved. Can I let slip a naughty? And as soon as you said I could, that was it. Full on Tourette's.
I say it made me chortle.
But it wasn't actually from you mostly. It was from the other guys.
I can usually give as good as I get.
Okay, so that's pretty much the community news show. Everyone have a good time or not?
At Hog Camp, I had an amazing time, and I've had a good night tonight as well.
Yeah, what was the best? Go ahead, Dave.
No, I just said it was fun. It's good. I shall be back if I'm invited.
Oh, you are, of course. No, I mean, let's have a low-down, dirty chat about Hog Camp and how people were and how you've recovered and stuff like that.
I was proper exhausted when we got home on the Monday, on the Tuesday. I think it was tagged as Oglag on Twitter.
Yeah, I saw that.
Yeah, it was whacked. It was a brilliant weekend, but it was, I don't know, the combination of talking to people for like near enough, you know, 24/7. It was like that and the excessive heat. It was just, Liverpool was just, I just melted. I only had to walk like, and that was it, or burst out in sweat. It was horrible, but the weekend was fantastic.
Yeah, it was pretty good. I mean, my mate was down from Scotland, and I just had switched into HPR mode, and it was just odd. But it was a great, it was a really good weekend, I have to say.
There's a definite more relaxed feel this year. I think, like I say, they're going from strength to strength and, you know, improving on any sort of, like, not necessarily mistakes, but maybe learning experiences. So it was definitely, like I say, more sort of slicker, smooth, a lot more relaxed.
What shows, what talks did you get to see?
I went to see the Apocalypse one. I saw the Stephen Fry one. But to be fair, I tend to go to OggCamp more for the chatting and the meeting with people. I'm quite happily sit outside of a, you know, of a conference room or a talk and just talk to, you know, anyone.
Yeah, I did a much of that as well. I saw the Apocalypse one with Beck, sat with Becky and watched that. That was good. I'm now planning to pack my inch kit, which is, I'm not coming home, so, but I think I'll take Becky.
Well, are coming home.
I was about to say, I think I'll take Becky with me. I watched John the Nice.
What was the Apocalypse on?
It was basically, it was about...
it was James Huggers, wasn't it?
Yeah. Yeah, it was interesting. It was basically loads of, you know, talk about loads of different ways in which the apocalypse could happen, and then it basically went in and talked about the culture behind people and organisations and groups which are preparing for the apocalypse. And I think he ended it with saying that we're all doomed. So it was quite depressing for the first talk that I saw. Then I went on and I watched John the Nice Guy Spriggs. He did a talk about, which was quite interesting, it was a talk about how he, because he developed the software for, him and his team developed the software for the organising the actual talks and stuff. Help me out, what was it called?
Campfire Manager.
Yeah, that's it, Campfire Manager. So his talk was basically about how his team, him and his team worked with version control and how he managed people contributing towards that. So that was a good talk. I found that interesting because he works on quite a small, he was working on quite a small scale, so it's interesting just to see how other people do that sort of thing in comparison to how I've been working with Crunchbang. So, and then straight after that, in the same room, I watched Nathan Dumont do his Ogbox talk, which was, it was just amazing, really. I mean, he's just a guy, and he gives his talks almost with effortless. It was effortless the way he talked about how he built this little device, completely free and open hardware and open software. Just as a almost what are those little devices that they sell? I've seriously forgot. They sell, Apple sells them.
iPods.
That's it. So it was a completely open alternative to an iPod, still pretty much in the early stages of development, but it was fantastic just to see, you know, this sort of thing going on. And I think that's what, for me this year, that's what there was a lot more hardware stuff going on, and Nathan's talk was sort of like summed that up for me. It was brilliant.
Yeah, I saw Nathan's talk as well, and I was really impressed with it because it looked like a proper sort of professional printed circuit board type thing. It just looked amazing. And I kept thinking, I wonder if I could record interviews for HPR. So, yeah, it was really good.
From my point of view, Nathan delivered it in a completely non-technical way so that even, you know, someone non-techie like me could actually follow it.
Yeah, definitely. It was, because to be fair, I'm not a hardware guy, and some of the stuff that he was talking about went over my head, but he made it really easy to follow. So yeah, top notch.
Yeah, I'd agree with that, Becky and Phil. I quite like the way he talked about some of the chips he'd used and then the justification as to why he'd used them, to do with like patents and licenses and things. I thought that was quite interesting.
Yeah, definitely. So, yeah, I'm not sure if there's a video. There should be videos available of all the talks, but if you're just going to watch one, I would probably recommend that one.
They're still trickling out. So, Mike, did you go to any other talks?
I saw the first one about freedom and licensing, and it was kind of interesting. But I mainly just stopped there because that's where the sort of warm up speech from Mark had been given. I can't remember now what I saw. It all seems so long ago. But all the talks I saw were fantastic. I really enjoyed them all.
Stephen Fry podcast or video cast, that was excellent.
I did see that online. Sorry, Dave, go ahead.
No, I was. All I was going to say was, didn't everybody go and see the quiz, the three podcast quiz,
Dick Turpin and Roadshow quiz.
That's right. Yeah. Suddenly lost the names of everybody there. Did you watch that?
I saw that, and I saw Ron manning the scoreboard. I thought that was impressive and amazing, and just totally appropriate. Brilliant.
Yeah, it had true slapstick comedy potential. That it was fantastic.
Hilarious. Yeah, it was really hilarious, I thought.
Yeah, and the Dove from Above part as well with
Tux from Above.
Sorry, Tux from Above. That had me chuckling.
I did think that Pete Cannon was going to have someone's eye out, though, the way he was flicking those cards.
Yeah, he was giving them some money.
He did mention that as well since then. Did they, on the, they didn't do a combined podcast this year, either?
No, there was a bit of communication failure towards the end. I think they were going to at the end of the raffle and then they decided not to. And I think actually separately, UUPC and Linux Outlaws have covered this in their shows since OBCamp to explain why.
But I was annoyed because I had missed the quiz talk roundup thing, because that's the one talk that I want to go to. And we were kind of out in the exhibitors area. And we were really, on the first day, we were kind of on a wing, and we were a bit out of it. It was only then that I realized that we were a bit out of it, that the crew were already coming over to move us down to the lower ground floor, where we would be closer to the main auditorium. So just spot on the crew before people start complaining about it. They already have a resolution to the issues. Worked out quite well.
Yeah, that was a good move. So it was, because the first day, it was almost, well, I had trouble finding you on the first day, but the second day, everybody was pretty much on that lower floor, unless you were watching, you know, a presentation in one of the rooms. But on the second day, when they moved it all down to the lower ground floor, and there was the exhibitors and the cafe and everything, it was brilliant down there. So,
yeah, it was kind of good down there, because at least people had registered down there, so they knew where the main hall was, and they knew, okay, well, I know where that is because the Geeknik area was there as well. So.
Did anyone spot the Wiki House? Because that was something that just seemed to fly under the radar. It just all of a sudden, and there's a Wiki House.
That's a separate project that's part of DOES Liverpool, or Do Epic Shit Liverpool, isn't it? It's Aid McEwen.
Is that what that stands for? Do Epic Shit Liverpool?
Yes. Did you not know that?
No,
it was on
awesome.
it was on a HPR podcast.
No, I totally missed that. Sorry.
Yeah. So does Liverpool, and they part of that, because of open sourceness, they have this project called this Wiki House, and it was being built at the university, not because of OGCamp. It's like an ongoing project. But Aid McEwen, who was upstairs with Bubblino, he's part of that. His name was on one of the sponsors of it.
Oh, right. Okay.
Okay, that makes sense. I really, really enjoyed doing the interviews. By the way, just for people to know, every conversation that I had at OGCamp was essentially recorded and released. So if you followed the HPR interviews, you more or less got everything that I did at Odd Camp, short of going getting tea and coffee and visiting other facilities.
Ken, you didn't record our conversation about sharing a booth next year.
No, but you can mention that if you wish.
Okay. So on the way back from, where were we? I think it was on the way back from the pub on the last night, was it? We sort of like had a conversation about the possibility of sharing a booth in the exhibitors area next year. So a Hacker Public Radio combined crunch bang type of booth. So that'd be cool.
But surely that's going to be too much awesome in one place.
You can never have too much awesome in one place.
Well, I have two favourite men in one place. It's easy for me.
I think that was the idea. It was to have lots of awesome in one place and try and get people that might be interested in. I'm completely stealing Ken's thunder here, because the idea is that all the Hacker Public Radio fans of the world might come over to the booth and might stumble across Crunchbang, and that'd be cool.
So Phil, can we expect a version of Crunchbang with all HPR recording tools all integrated with it and stuff, like Audacity and all the rest of it?
No. No, I don't know, maybe.
Excellent answer.
Well, we could do a special rebuild remix for that event, couldn't we? That'd be cool.
One thing I do know is that next year I will be testing my wireless beforehand. By the way, people listening to the saga of my wireless, it turns out that it is the hardware switch is broken. So that's why the Wi-Fi hasn't been detected by any distro.
Phew.
But yes. We did also mention FOSDEM, another large European event, which is more convenient to me as it happens, will be an ideal opportunity to try out that shared booth thing. Because at FOSDEM, I need two people to, quote, man the booth. Although it can also be woman the booth. For anybody listening out there going to FOSDEM, I need two people's names to put it down. And if Core Nominal did come over to FOSDEM, then it would help HPR out greatly, because then we would have two people down there.
It's under consideration. No, seriously, I mean, I'm not. I can't commit at the moment to FOSDEM, but I think I'd like to go. I don't know. Let's see how things work out, I think, on that one.
And if all the Crunchbang poor members could convince Philip. Where did Becky go, by the way?
She's standing right next to me. We're just about to troubleshoot her connection.
Groovy, that's Big Ten 4. Anyone got anything else to say, or anything that we missed?
Nothing here.
So, with that, I will thank everybody for putting up with all the Odd Camp content. It was really, really fantastic to talk to everybody. Mike, sorry I didn't give you the t-shirts on the day. You know the reason for that. And embarrassing though it was. And they will be shipping over to you. If people want to make their own t-shirts, the SGVs for doing them are available on the website under hackpublicradio.com/media, and there's images in there. And you can print off your own t-shirts and stuff like that. And if anybody wants to run off stickers for us, for whatever, for free, feel free to do that and send them in, because Hacker Public Radio is a community. All right, with that, I'll talk to you later, and thanks everybody for joining in.
Thanks, Ken. Thanks, everyone.
Yeah, thanks. Massive thanks from me and Becky. Becky's having trouble at the moment, but she wanted to say thank you.
Okay. Cheers, everybody.
Thanks, Dave. Bye.
You have been listening to Hacker Public Radio at hackerpublicradio.org. We are a community podcast network that releases shows every weekday, Monday through Friday. Today's show, like all our shows, was contributed by a HPR listener like yourself. If you ever considered recording a podcast, then visit our website to find out how easy it really is. Hacker Public Radio was founded by the Digital Dog Pound and the Infonomicon Computer Club. HPR is funded by the Binary Revolution at binrev.com. All BinRev projects are proudly sponsored by Lunar Pages. From shared hosting to custom private clouds, go to lunarpages.com for all your hosting needs. Unless otherwise stated, today's show is released under a Creative Commons Attribution Share Alike 3.0 license.